where this morning comes from Luke 6:27-38. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you.
Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you.
And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.
For if ye love them which love you, what thank have we? For sinners also love those that love them.
And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil.
Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, shall be measured to you again.
Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just ask that you would superintend over all of this stuff. We find ourselves just weighed down with stuff. We find ourselves having our minds all clouded with things and trying to pull together things. And we just ask that you would just open our minds and our hearts to hear you. Speak to us deeply this day. Help us to sense your presence in a real, tangible way. Help us to get it, Lord. We trust you. We praise you. We thank you. We celebrate you. Today, Lord, have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be. Aren't you glad that for us, he was able to do all that he's done for us. And because he has done so much, we can stand before him changed, made different. You know, but it doesn't always feel that we've been changed. It doesn't always feel that we've been made different. It doesn't always seem that things are really on the upswing. It doesn't always feel like we're really making it. I just struck this week, just struck with the depth of my own sins. I look back and I just go, oh, good grief. How could he ever use me? How could he ever love me? How could he ever want me? How does this thing work? How can it be that my God is so very good that he would allow me to even breathe his air? I think I might have an answer, though, today. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise you and we thank you because there's none other like you. It is no small thing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I am one of those included. That we, anyone here that would confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, they have been changed. They have been made different. They can receive the Spirit of the living God, because before the foundation of the world, you chose them for everlasting life. So, Lord, today, would you open our eyes so that we might have the realization of how we might, in this present age, in this place now, enjoy that life for your glory. Let it be for your glory, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to the sixth chapter of the book of Luke. Sixth chapter of the book of Luke is kind of recounting what some theologians call the Sermon on the Plain. And you've heard the Sermon on the Mount, which is recorded in Matthew. The Sermon on the Plain is very similar. It talks about some of the same points. Some theologians even thought maybe these were two of the same thing, but they were just looked at by two separate authors. But I think that these are actually two different occasions, because one's he settled the mountain, one he settled in the plain. In this particular one, this is right after he chose his apostles. He had been with a group of disciples, a group of people that followed hard after him, and he had prayed all night long, and then he comes and he names these 12 that were to be with him, these 12 that were to learn of him, these 12 that he would allow to go with him everywhere he went for the next 2 or 3 years, and they would see the miraculous. They would be involved in the miraculous. They would be changed, and their being changed allows the whole world to be changed, allows us to be here today as people who actually believe, who have accepted the grace of God. It's this grace gift, this gift from God that is wondrous and amazing. It's by grace we are saved. He's mighty to save. He's able to save, and he gives us grace, and by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, nothing we could do for it. Not of works, lest any of us should boast, for we are his workmanship. He's been fashioning a masterpiece, and just think about it. You are a part of that masterpiece. Look at me. I'm a masterpiece in the making. I'm being changed. I'm being made different. You're being made different. And we are being knit together. We're being sewn together. We are brick by brick on this beautiful building that houses the very presence of the living God. We are the temple of the Spirit of the living God. And he wants to fill his temple. He wants to fill us with himself, to fill us with his Spirit, so that we might live in a way that we let our light so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father. They glorify our Father in heaven, because anybody that sees us doing anything and realizes who we are, they have to realize there must be a God, because it couldn't have come from us. So here's this Jesus, and he's doing this Sermon on the Plain, and he reminds us that blessed are those that are poor that don't seem to have the wherewithal to do what it takes to get done what needs to be done. Blessed are those that are hungry for God because they're going to be filled. Blessed are you when men hate you. People don't like you, despise you, don't think well of you. They say your name is evil and the things that you want to do are evil. We ought to rejoice when we have those things that we have been told will happen. We ought to rejoice when we recognize that all who will live godly shall suffer persecution. We ought to rejoice because that means the word of God is true. And if the word of God is true, then we can trust that word. And if we can trust that word, we can rejoice because there are many great and precious promises in that word for us. We can rejoice. We can rejoice. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But those of us who think we've got it made, who think we know what's going on here, who think we're in control, we've got a hold of everything, I'm sorry for you. Because if you think that, you think that you are making it now, you're all soothed and satisfied now with yourself and the way that you have achieved and the way that you've done, you think all of that, you're in trouble. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. We live in distressing times because we are people that if you really understand who we are, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, understand that you are for another kingdom. You're for a kingdom that is given by God. You are filled with the very presence of the living God. You are not of this world. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers unto the false prophets. Well, that's such a challenge for me. That line is such a challenge for me. You know why it's such a challenge for me? Is because I really like people to think well of me. Don't you like people to think well of you? Don't you like it when they say, you know, hey, you did wonderful. You were great. You were amazing. Man, how good you are. And, you know, we kind of like that thing. Man, but you're in trouble if that's all they say about you. You're in trouble if that's what everybody thinks about you, because that means you are too much like the world. You are too much the world's ideal. Today we've got to turn our thinking upside down and shake out the mess that has clogged us up, that's kept us from thinking rightly. So that brings us to verse 27 here. And this is where we'll start. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Okay. You know, it rolls off the tongue pretty easy. And if you've been around church any time, you've heard people say, love your enemies. And you go, sure, I'll do that. Because I don't have any enemies. Yeah, everybody loves me, and I love everybody. I don't care enough to think of them as enemies. But when you really stop and think about it, when you really stop and think about how some people treat you and how you choose to treat some people, you have some enemies. If nothing else, you know that if you are serious about your faith, there are people that don't like you because you are you. Love your enemies. It was really difficult for me to admit to myself. Now see, you guys are really special people. You're deep thinkers and you're strong and in the spirit and all of that. So this probably wasn't as hard for you. I just had to let you know how normal people are. The reality is that I found that that was a really hard thing, that I should love my enemy. Look at this thing. It says, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. This is not some, oh, I love them way over there. I just love everybody. This don't come any closer. This is love them and do good to them. Have you ever tried to do good to someone you really didn't like? You know, I'll get us in trouble here, but I can imagine someone making gumbo for people in the office, and she's thinking, I could just poison one of them once. You know? So, don't tell them who it is. But you know, I can imagine these things, these places that you've been and this the stuff that you've done where loving your enemy just what you would love to do something to your enemy, but not something good. You would do it good, but not something good. You're supposed to do good to them which hate you. You are supposed to bless them. Say good things about. Say nice about those that curse you. I'm telling you, that's tough. It's something that I've grown up with, that, you know, I don't have anything to do with people that don't speak well of me. And Lord, you are now telling me, you are demanding of me that I would speak well of them. And you can think of opportunities that you have that if you just slip the right word in there, you could derail a career. You could change something. Just one super mean word. But now you've got the opportunity. They're in your hands. They've not been good to you. And you are to release them and say something good. Bless them that curse you. And I hate to tell you this, that doesn't mean they will bless you later. So often we obey God because we think what we'll get. The only reason we're really obeying God is to do ourselves good. We're only obeying God to do ourselves good. So many people today obey this word of God so they can manipulate God into giving them stuff, to treating them right, to making sure that they're in the right place. But he says, bless those that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. I have a hard time praying for people that I love. And he's telling me to pray for people that I do not think are treating me the way that I should be treated. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're treating me in a way that I don't like at all. Now, I know you guys have such great relationships out there. You never experienced any of this, or it was somewhere back in the past. But for me, I recognize this. I've seen this, and it's hard, and it hurts. And he goes on to define it a little better. It gives you a sense of how this thing works. Unto him that smites thee on the one cheek, walks up to you and backhands you. Offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Lord, you've gone too far. This person is disrespecting me, and they done put their hands on me. And I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to treat them well. I mean, that's ridiculous, Lord. I've got all the power, the spirit of the living God coursing through my veins. And I'm supposed to treat them right. What must it have been like for Jesus? He prayed all night for people, prayed so hard that it was like drops of blood pouring out of him. His skin was tender and he's hurting, and it's the middle of the night, and up comes a friend, someone who had marched around with him and even watched his money and done all of this stuff, and he comes and kisses him as he is turning him over to his enemies. And his enemies take him for a trial. Before they can take him, those that are still loyal to Jesus say, should we fight? Should we raise our swords? Should we? No. No. In fact, that one that you heard, let me heal him. Let me heal him. And even in the midst of all this, he's protecting and caring for them, and he speaks, and all of the soldiers fall back. He still had all power. All of those that were coming for him, they recognized he was all powerful. Let them go, and they all escape, and they take Jesus away, and Jesus is taken to this trial, and he's tried by these people that are obviously out for their own good and their own power, and they are just finding a way that they can destroy him and kill him, and the process goes on, and he goes through a couple of disastrous interviews, and he is crucified. There's a point where he says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There's a point where he tells one to care for his mother because he knows it will never be the same. There's a point where he says, "Forgive them, for they know not what They do. They knew they were killing him. They just didn't understand. They just didn't understand. He prayed for those who beat him, who spit on him, who mocked him, who killed him. They despitefully used him. I didn't examine everybody's hands or feet when they came in, but I don't think any of you have been nailed to the cross yet. You just felt like it a few times. But the reality is that's not what has happened in your life. And if you are to be like him, you must be willing to love in the way that Jesus loved. But you've got to provide for the people around you. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. You lend to people and you help them, and sometimes they rip you off and it doesn't work out, and it's annoying, but you keep on doing it because you're not about the stuff. The stuff is not what sustains you. You are sustained by our God. You are kept by our God. You are held by our God. And that stuff is just stuff. It's just a vehicle for you to show who's in charge. It's just a vehicle for you to demonstrate to the whole world that it's not by chariots, it's not by horses, but by your spirit, Lord, that I am kept. It's by you that I am sustained. Verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You do to people just what you would want to be done in their situation. Do they need a hug? Do they need a help? What do they need? You look at people with compassion, with care. You look at them and you try to do for them what you would have done for you. Verse 32. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? It is no big deal for me to show love to Betty. I better show love to Betty because she's my wife, my lover, my friend. But when it comes to showing love to someone that has not been kind to me, that's special. That's special. So it's good to love them which love you. Sinners even do that. For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them which you hope to receive, you're trying to get something back, you're trying to put something in your coffers, you're trying to you know, show how good a person you are, that's no big thing. If you lend to them what you hope to receive, what thank you? For sinners, also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Love your enemies and do good. And lend. Help them out. Sometimes they need a helping hand and you can see it. Maybe that's why they're so bitter and foolish, because they need a helping hand. hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's hard stuff. Can we not pretend that this is just so easy? Can we not pretend that I just do this every day? It's just natural. Yeah, no, this is supernatural. See, one of the things that living this way does, it demonstrates one of two things. Either that you really are his because you're doing it, or that you need to go to him and confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness so that you can do it. It'll show you either that you're right and you can celebrate and rejoice, or it shows that you're not right and he can fix you. And when he fixes you, you can celebrate and rejoice. Have you noticed that this ends up with celebrate and rejoice? You know, if you, but you've got to deal with reality. You've got to deal with who you are. You've got to deal with the truth of your condition. You've got to deal with what's going on in your life. You must admit that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he has the right to tell you what to do. And as you admit where you are and who you are and whose you are, then he can allow you to experience his very presence. And when you experience his very presence, you can celebrate and rejoice because you've been able to go boldly to the throne of grace to be right in the presence of the living God. God celebrating, he is holy, 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 and that's a good thing. Amen. It's a great thing to be with him. But you got to deal with the truth. Love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. You're his. For he is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. He's been kind to me when I wasn't right. He's been kind to me when I was unkind. He's been loving to me when I was not loving. He has given me the ability to go forward when I wanted to quit. He has given me the ability to have patience when I was in a hurry. He's the one who, living through me, makes a difference. And he wants to make a difference in your world. Is your world being changed by the Spirit of the living God? Is he working in you today? Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. It's really easy to get your pound of flesh. We live in a society where everybody's trying to get their pound of flesh. Have you noticed that? Everybody wants to get even. Everybody, oh, I got him now. I'm going to crush him. Those people, we just got to show them who's in charge. Listen, there comes a point where you have to say, no more. Be merciful. Don't give them what they deserve because you do not want God to give you what you deserve. Oh, Lord, please don't give me what I deserve. Please don't give me what I deserve. It's of the Lord's mercy we are not consumed. Great is his faithfulness. Oh, great is your faithfulness, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning, my morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And then it says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. You know, a lot of people argue about what this judge means in this particular case. But it means that you don't sit around thinking, well, that person's going to hell. I've written them off. I don't have to pray any longer because that person's just a mess. That person can't make it. That person can't get by. We are not to judge you so that you shouldn't be judged. Condemn not. Don't assign them to a place that they cannot get out of. Sometimes the way that we treat people means that they live up to what we expect them to. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God has been bountiful to us. Shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet, that you dish out, that's the way it's going to be measured to you again. Live in a way that demonstrates you love your enemies. And I'm going to tell you what the reality is there are going to be times when you discover you do not love someone. And when you don't love them, you look to God and say, forgive me, God, help me to show love to that person. Help me to be loving. Help me to be kind. Help me to know how to behave myself in a way that demonstrates that I am your child. I confess my failures, and I ask that you would change me. Change me because I need it. Change me because I want to be like you. Change me because I am born again. Change me because you are faithful. Change me. There's none other like you. Change me. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I believe Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior. There is none other like him. Change me. Change me because you said you would. Keep me because you said you could. Hold me because I need you. Help me because you can. I love you, Lord. I love you and I praise you, and I have faith to believe that you have changed me. You want me. You today, this day can be changed. You can beat those chains that would keep you tied down, keep you from being the person that God has called you to be. You can be free. Every time you try to hold somebody down, you are stuck there too. Let them go. Let them free and be what God has called you to be. Bless his name because he's worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Today, if God is moving in your heart, make sure you talk to someone about what God is doing. He's changing you.